Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 12 minutes or so, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. This is week 8 of our look at tough topics in the Bible and the Christian life. As you can tell from the music clips, which certainly date me, this week's tough topic is politics. The Bible passage for this episode is 1 Peter 2, 9-17. I'll read it from the ESV, the English Standard Version. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Just about all people, Christians and non-Christians alike, recognize that this world is not the way it ought to be. To make the world a better place, many people turn to politics. That's because the decisions and actions of government leaders can have a significant impact on some things that can improve the lives of some people. As Christians, however, we need to be careful that our political involvement does not overshadow our primary mission. C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters, is a series of 31 letters written by an experienced demon named Screwtape to an inexperienced demon named Wormwood. In the letter, Screwtape advises Wormwood on how best to tempt a British man who has become a Christian during the first years of World War II. Screwtape makes several comments on using politics as a weapon against the man. I'll read an excerpt from letter 7. Keep in mind that in Screwtape's letters, the enemy is God. I had not forgotten my promise to consider whether we should make the patient an extreme patriot or an extreme pacifist. All extremes, except extreme devotion to the enemy, are to be encouraged. Not always, of course, but at this period. Some ages are lukewarm and complacent, and then it is our business to soothe them yet faster asleep. Other ages, of which the present is one, are unbalanced and prone to faction, and it's our business to inflame them. Whichever he adopts, your main task will be the same. Let him begin by treating the patriotism or the pacifism as a part of his religion. Then let him, under the influence of partisan spirit, come to regard it as the most important part. Then quietly and gradually nurse him on to the stage at which the religion becomes merely part of the cause, in which Christianity is valued chiefly because of the excellent arguments it can produce in favor of the British war effort or of pacifism. The attitude which you want to guard against is that in which temporal affairs are treated primarily as material for obedience. Once you have made the world an end and faith a means, you have almost won your man, and it makes very little difference what kind of worldly end he is pursuing. Provided that meetings, pamphlets, policies, movements, causes, and crusades matter more to him than prayers and sacraments and charity, he is ours. And the more religious on those terms, the more securely ours. I could show you a pretty cageful down here. So how do you get involved in politics without losing sight of the bigger mission? How do you keep your priorities intact? As always, you should look to the example of Jesus. When you do that, it's important to understand the world in which Jesus conducted his ministry. In first century Judea, the Romans were in charge. To fund its empire, Rome levied taxes on every city and area under its rule. Jews saw taxes as a tribute to Caesar, a hated despot who called himself a god, and a symbol of slavery to Rome. They believed that their Messiah, or Savior, would be a political leader who would overthrow Rome. Jesus taught with authority and exhibited amazing power. When he entered Jerusalem on the Sunday before Passover, a huge crowd hailed him as a king. It was time to determine his intentions. The religious leaders approached him and asked him this: "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" If Jesus answered yes, then he was not the political Messiah they sought. If he answered no, then the religious leaders could force his hand to lead a revolution to overthrow the Roman authorities in Jerusalem. Jesus began his response this way: "Show me the coin for the tax." They brought him a coin. Looking at it, he asked, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" "Caesar's," they responded. Then Jesus said, Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. The religious leaders realized that Jesus was not their political savior, and so he needed to go. A few days later, those leaders had Jesus arrested and hauled in front of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor who had the power to release Jesus or order his execution. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked him. Jesus responded that he was indeed a king, but his kingdom was not of this world. Christ offers each of us a place in his eternal kingdom. That realm is not affected by or even terribly interested in the politics of our present world. But how we as Christians approach politics can threaten or enhance our witness to people who are not yet a part of that kingdom. Political action can improve a part of this world and bring benefits to a segment of its population. But it will never make this world what it was intended to be, and it won't bring one person to his eternal destination. Our hope remains in the one who can do both. Let's act like it. Next week, I'll look at the topic of pride. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.